For those listening on the radio, I am Tom Place. I'm the lay leader here at First United Methodist Church. I'm filling in for Pastor Abel. So when I'm done, if you have any negative comments or anything, please feel free to send them to Pastor Abel. What a beautiful day we have today. For the third time, it reminds me of a story of a pastor who woke up and saw a day like this, and he didn't want to go and do a service. He wanted to golf. So he called up his assistant pastor, and he said, "I'm sick." He said, I got to stay home and recuperate. He said, "So you'll have to do the service today," which has got nothing to do with Pastor Abel and myself today. So he went and got his golf bags, threw them in the trunk of his car, ran off two cities away to a golf course where no one would know him, put down the golf ball on the tee, hit away on the first hole. That ball just sailed down the fairway. About halfway down, a gust of wind caught it, and it carried it another 100 yards. Plopped that rascal right down on the green where it gently rolled into the hole for a hole in one. No one had ever did that on that golf course. That pastor was jumping up and down, so excited. Up in heaven, an angel looked at God and said, "Well, what'd you do that for?" God laughed and smiled and said, "Who's he gonna tell?" Yes. There is humor in heaven, and God does have a sense of humor. You know, when I was preparing this message, I thought back on a movie that Mel Gibson produced, The Passion of the Christ. And there's a scene in there early on, if you remember, of Jesus building a table. And Mary comes out and asks him if he's hungry and would like to have lunch, and Jesus said yes. Mary comes out and takes a look at the table, and kind of jokingly says, "Your customer must eat standing up." Jesus replied, "No," he said, "I just have not built the chairs yet." And then he sat down on the imaginary chair. He invited Mary to do the same, which she did. And then if you remember, she jerked that Jesus was going to pull the chair out on his mother for a little humor. She slapped him with a rag and she said, "Come, let's eat. But first you must wash your hands and take off that dirty apron." As she's pouring the water over his hands, he takes the water and he sprays it in her face. And they both share a little bit of joy and humor and laughter there. I think Mr. Gibson wanted to show us that truly there is room for laughter. Shortly after our Easter week and with the message of the crucifixion and everything, a lot of churches do a little humor. Some of them have a humor Sunday. We used to do a tropical Sunday some years back. So there is joy and there is humor in church. When I was also preparing, I was looking for something in the Bible, and I came across a story of Balaam. It's in Numbers, chapter 22, verse 2. And Balaam was the spokesperson for God. It's quite an important job at that time, but he didn't take it very seriously. And there was a hostile army outside of Israel that was ready to conquer Israel. And that king sent a message to Balaam and said, "I will give you all the riches you deserve or want if you'll just ride out here and right before the battle, put curses down on the Hebrews." Well, Balaam wisely sent the messenger back and said, "No." Well, then the king went one step further and he sent his messengers back and he said, "I will give you all the riches you want. I will give you anything you want if you will just come out here and put curses on the Hebrews right before the battle." Well, Balaam, the prophet for profit, as he was called, decided to do that. Chuck Swindoll had a great story to that, and I'd like to relay that to him. As Balaam and his two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into the field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and crush Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down under Balaam. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with his staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you that deserves your beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. I'm not sure about you, but if I was riding along with a donkey and it started to talk, I wouldn't stick around for the conversation. But not Balaam. "You've made me look like a fool," he shouted. "If I had a sword with me, I'd kill you. But I am the same donkey you have ridden all of your life. Have I ever done anything like this before?" Balaam hesitated and said, "No." Imagine being outwitted by a donkey. God certainly does have a sense of humor. The creator of the entire universe took that chosen path to punish his spokesperson, to punish Balaam, being put down by a donkey. Perhaps Balaam was luckier than what he thought. One of the greatest stress relievers that God has given us is laughter. It's a medical fact. Laughter is triggered from the right side of the brain. This is the side that creates creativity and decision making. This is the side of the brain that releases 87% of the youth hormone, which gives us our energy and our zest. It's a fact that children will laugh 200 times a day. The average adult laughs 6. What we need to do is let go of our stress and laugh more. Our stress of finances, our stress of jobs, our stress of relationships, work, committees, and just laugh it off. It's difficult to do. But it's a pleasure to do. It's a positive thing to do, not a negative. And that one thing or the many things that are stressing you that day will still be there when you're done. We need to keep a little bit of being a child in us well into our adulthood. There was a pastor that had a 96-year-old lady that was just full of life. Everyone's best friend, always smiling, always joyful. This one particular Sunday, she wore a beautiful spring dress, kind of flashy and pink and flowery. When the pastor couldn't help it, she came through the line. He told her, he said, "You know, I would really like to look like you at 96. She whispered in his ear, "Just don't wear the dress." Or how about the 103-year-old grandmother who hated going to hospitals, but she had to finally relinquish and go in. And her family, of course, was concerned. So they immediately called her and asked her if they had found out anything. The spry 103-year-old replied, "Well, they ruled out being pregnant." But we're blessed here at the First United Methodist Church here in Springville, because we have two such wonderful, smiling ladies. Clara Vandenberg and Donna Dowd have a smile on their face all the time. I can't tell you when I'm back ushering or greeting what a pleasure it is for me to look forward to seeing these two lovely ladies come in with that smile, because it certainly does energize my week. Thank you so much, ladies. And I believe Clara was 97 or so last week, if I'm not mistaken. And they remembered that at the first service, because they reminded me. So you're world renowned. But sometimes, even when we're in a good mood or when we're joyful or happy, we don't really realize it. There's another lady here in church, and I won't mention her name now, but for maybe a couple months ago, she would always come in on a Sunday and she'd ask me why I was crabby or what was wrong or why are you looking so stern? And it kind of bothered me a little bit because there wasn't anything wrong. I wasn't crabby, so that did I really look this way all the time? So I thought, you know, I got to start smiling more. So I did. Whenever I would see her walk in, I would smile, that maybe that big Texas Joel Osteen smile type thing, you know. And then one Sunday, God brings us down, and I love him for it, but opening up that back door, I pinched my finger in the latch, and it hurt. And didn't you know, as soon as I turned around, who was standing there? Absolutely. Oh, I smiled. I said, oh, yeah, I'm happy. But it actually did take away the pain for at least a little bit anyways. Sometimes we just need that reminder. In 1966, a young man climbed up into the tower at Texas University with a rifle, and he shot and killed 16 people. He wounded 32 others. At that time, the governor of Texas asked a noted Dr. Stuart Brown, PhD, to do a study on the young man. Upon interviewing him, Dr. Brown found out that the young man said he never had a normal childhood. He never played regularly with other children. They never laughed at his house. His house was always stressful. It was very, very dysfunctional. The doctor then went on to interview all of the inmates on death row in Texas, and he got the exact same answers from each and every one of them. We owe it to our God. We owe it to our children. And we owe it to our society to provide a healthy, normal childhood to our youth. Laugh with them more often. Keep a part of being a child inside yourself. Play with your children. Take the extra time. It makes a world of difference. And what better place to start than in God's house? We thank our youth coordinator. We thank Youth Alive coordinators, anyone working with our youth here to keep that spirit alive within our church. You know, I think of my mother and her sister, my Aunt Ruth, when we were smaller. Boy, when those two got together, they would laugh and laugh and laugh. So tears would be coming down their eyes. Us cousins would get together and think, well, we're supposed to be the kids acting goofy. What the heck are they laughing about? Never did find out, but they did. And constantly. I mean, actually, it kind of got annoying, but... But boy, what joy that brought in those visits when my aunt and my mother were together laughing, those barrel laughs over who still knows. And yet, some years later, when my aunt was actually on her deathbed, she was still laughing. She was still smiling. She was still concerned about us. You know, when I die, I hope I can be like that. I hope I can have a smile on my lips and a laughter in my heart, and a joke in my pocket. Wouldn't it kind of be neat and funny to go up to St. Peter and say, St. Peter, did you hear the one about the two guys that came up here? And you asked the one who he was, and he said, I'm Joel Duperick, and I'm a New York City cab driver, and he had the goofy hat and the flowery shirt and all that on. St. Peter looked down the list, said, yep, you're here. Here's a gold staff, silk robe. Enjoy your time in heaven. The next man stand up, kind of puffy. He said, I'm Pastor John Brown of the First United Methodist Church in Orgenburg, New York. And Pastor St. Peter looked down and said, yes, Pastor, you're here. He gave him a wooden staff and a pair of cotton robes. He said, enjoy your time in heaven. Well, the pastor looked back a little bit. He said, I don't mean to complain, but I'm a pastor. How come I got a wooden staff and cotton, and a taxi cab driver, he got a gold staff and silk? St. Peter looked down. He said, Pastor, up here, he says, we judge people on results. When you preached, people slept. When he drove, people prayed. In the 1960 presidential election, a young unknown senator from Massachusetts who didn't have a shot to win the presidency ran against a two-term vice president. The vice president was well-informed, more knowledgeable, more educated, more experienced to be president of the United States. But they went on TV and did debates. It's a well-known fact now that John Kennedy won that presidential election because of his smiling character over a stern-faced Richard Nixon. A smile and joy can take you a long way in the world. A fact that Mr. Nixon did not overlook in 1968. Those of you who know me know that you're going to get a dose of this one way or the other. In 1862, during the American Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln used silly anecdotes all the time to get through the stress of that terrible conflict. It's the only way he made it through. Right before the Battle of Antietam, a pivotal battle, he was at the telegraph office waiting for the news, and he was just talking to two soldiers there, the telegraph officers, as the president. The times have changed. Secretary of War Edward Stanton was with him. Well, Stanton was a gruff little rascal. I don't think he ever smiled a day in his life, they claimed. He eventually died of a heart attack a few years after this story. But he was really mean. Lincoln went on with a silly anecdote. It was silly, like most of his was. Stanton got so mad, he threw the papers down, stormed up, cursed the President of the United States, said, I can't stand these stupid, idiotic stories that you come in serious times. This is like that. That's exactly the way the story goes. And he stormed out the door. But the president looked at the two soldiers, and the soldiers looked at the president, and they broke out laughing. Shortly thereafter, President Lincoln and his wife Mary decided to attend a show, a play, if you would. But their young son Willie was sick, but the doctor assured them that Willie would be fine. Well, when the president and his wife came back home, Willie had died. Mary Lincoln never recovered from that, and she went into seclusion. For the rest of her life, she was basically always in a type of mourning of some sort or another because of it. But Abraham Lincoln did the same. Abraham Lincoln went in his bedroom, and his secretaries could say they could hear him weeping in there. The country's in the middle of a crisis, and the President of the United States was weeping over the death of his son. One day, that bedroom door flew open, and Abraham Lincoln walked out, and he told his secretary, Nicholas Hay, he said, Hay, he said, I just heard a vision, or saw a vision, or heard a voice, he wasn't sure which, and he said, but I know it was God, and God told me that I have a choice. I can either choose to be happy and smile, or I can choose to be miserable and not smile ever again. I can choose to lead this country, or I can choose to let it go by the wayside, but I can't bring Willie back. I have to move forward. God gave me the choice to be happy or to be sad, and hey, I'm going to choose to be happy. And Abraham Lincoln continued to lead his life just that way. You know, in closing, I would like to reflect that the Jesus by the sea poster picture that you see up there was picked specially for you. I'd like you to take that home with you today. I have one, it's on my dresser. And I can get you a better picture than that if you want one. But I start every day looking at Jesus smiling. And I'd like for you to take that home and put that on your dresser. Take just 5 minutes of every day thanking God and smiling with Him. Don't complain. Don't ask for anything. Wait until the end of the day. You'll have a much bigger list at that time anyways. Just be thankful with Jesus for 5 minutes in the morning. Share that. But let me warn you. Be prepared for distractions. The phone will start ringing. Your kids will spill milk and cereal all over the table. Your husband, who knew where his socks were for 22 years, won't be able to find them. And all the woodpeckers would choose your house that morning for breakfast. But those distractions are from the enemy. They're from the devil. Because the devil hates laughter. He hates to see you smile. He hates to see you content. He hates seeing you here. But just think how devastated that fool would be if he knew you were going to start spending 5 minutes of every morning smiling and starting your day with Jesus. So take that time. Defeat the devil and don't please him. There is sides, God's side and the devil's side. You can choose. Don't give in to Satan. He's very, very tricky. Smile with Jesus every morning. Use this time to start your day off on a positive bearing. And just see how wonderful your days can be. See how much favor the good Lord will shine upon you when you shine favor upon Him. And what better way than to start your day doing that? Take this time to reflect with Him. Be thankful. And God bless. Amen and amen.